Revolution is brewing in small batches.
And today, the president closed the nation's last remaining submarine base at Groton, Connecticut. When asked why he had made the startling decision, the president responded,
"Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives." And now here's DJ Microbrew with 39 minutes of file checking, hacking, deleting, yupper, cut and pasting. That's right, a new weekly presentation from Activist Time Zine and Prime Anarchist Productions. The first Easter headline: revolution is brewing. Now here's the hothead companion, Lee Wayland, Word of the Week.
Wow.
From the 1950s onward, the 45 RPM record was the dominant format in recorded music. Careers were made almost overnight by the sales of the little records with the big holes. But then, there are exceptions. Artists who sold more LPs than singles were album artists. Waylon Jennings is such an artist. Amazingly, for all of his gold and platinum records he received during his career, only one was for a single. Oddly enough, from 1959 until 1964, Waylon's entire recorded output was only on 45 RPM singles. His first single, Dolly Blonde and Sim Stuff, was not issued on LP in any form until 1979, and that was on a British reissue of Waylon Jennings and J.D.'s album called Early Years. Phoenix-based Trend Records was Waylon's mixtape, and both singles he recorded for the label never appeared on LP or CD until the mid-90s. In fact, the 45 version of the stage, Stars in Heaven, was mastered at a much slower pitch than normal. That was the record position. When played at the recommended speed, Waylon's voice played much higher than normal, so much so that he lobbied against public performance of the song. There is a happy ending, though. When Bear Family mastered the Clovis to Phoenix CD in 1995, they included the stage at the correct pitch. Speaking of the Clovis to Phoenix CD, not only the first authorized CD release of the JD's album, but also all of the China drums were sent. Thank you, Patrick Moore, for this weekly Waylon Word of the Week.
Stop this car, I'm getting out.
This time we're gonna scream and shout. Stop this car, I'm getting out.
I'm not gonna wait until we land in the brook and have all the little fishies swim by and take a look. Tell them all laughing at us with a little brook trout. Stop this car, I'm getting out.
This time we're gonna scream and shout. Stop this car, I'm getting out.
Bellow out, man. Bellow out.
No. Yeah, what's he so uptight about?
No.
Smoke some of this, man.
And act like an ostrich with his head in the sand.
This time I'm gonna scream and shout.
I say, stop this car, I'm getting out. La 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 la. I say, stop this car, I'm getting out. Suppose that deer runs across the road. Suppose that truck hits a rock in front of us. All you bella little fellas gonna be scattered about. Stop this car, I'm getting out.
This time we're gonna scream and shout. Stop this car, I'm getting out.
Jonathan, don't make a scene.
Okay, just turn away till the light turns green. Yeah, but not for long, pal. I'm saying goodnight. She's taking three red lights, four rockers. She got the leatherette seat full of cigarette burns. Bye in the front, bye all about. Stop this car, I'm getting out.
This time we're gonna scream and shout. Stop this car, I'm getting out. This time we're gonna scream and shout. Stop this car, I'm getting out.
Good morning, world. Here's how the world is treating itself. If you're listening to this program in Wexford, Pennsylvania, we really would like to hear from you. Money Magazine recently listed your municipality as the 28th best place to live in the United States of America. But there's a problem. There is no municipality in Pennsylvania using the name Wexford. Really? So if you are listening to this program in Wexford, Pennsylvania, where in the hell are you? Well, yeah, maybe it's an American sister city to Brigadoon. Who knows? Walmart is banning Willie Nelson's preferred cover design for his latest album, an Island Records release titled Countryman. The original CD cover features what clearly appears to be hemp leaves on what seems to be a pack of rolling papers. Walmart is forcing the country legend to substitute what looks like the palm tree on the original Island Records label design of the early 70s. Interestingly, last time I was at the local Walmart, I noticed several Bob Marley CDs distributed by Island that contained the song Kaya. I'm guessing that nobody at Walmart corporate headquarters in Arkansas knows exactly what Kaya is. Either that, or in order to sell CDs about it at Walmart, the singer has to be over two decades dead. A reminder that this newscast originates from three different locations on the World Wide Web: WhiteRoseSociety.org, RadioForAll.net, and Radio.IndieMedia.org. Please offer these websites, as well as any other online or broadcast station airing this newscast, whatever support you possibly can, okay? I'd appreciate it. You can email me at the Voice of Labor, TheVoiceOflabor, at CenturyTel, CenturyTel.net. And I'll be seeing you here again tomorrow. I'm King David McKenzie. Remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space. Now go out and make some news of your own today, okay?
Hey, what up, everybody? This is The Contagious Show. You've tuned in to Portland Indie Media Web Radio. And we are live here this evening from Portland, Oregon.
Here's a little number I wrote the other day while out duck hunting with a judge.
Quack.
Fuck you very much, the FCC. Fuck you very much for fining me. $5,000 a fuck, so I'm really out of luck. That's more than Heidi Fleiss was charging me. So fuck you very much, the FCC, for proving that free speech just isn't free. Clear Channel's a dear channel, so Howard Stern must go. Attorney General Ashcroft doesn't like strong words, and so he's charging twice as much as all the drugs for Rush Limbaugh. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you very much, dear Mr. Bush, for heroically sitting on your tush. For Halliburton, Enron, all the companies who fail, let's send them a clear signal and stick Martha straight in jail. She's an uppity rich bitch, and at least she isn't male. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you, dickhead Mr. Cheney too. Fuck you and fuck everything you do. Your pacemaker must be a fake, you haven't got a heart. As far as I'm concerned, you're just a pasty-faced old fart. And as for Condoleezza, she's an intellectual tart. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you very much, the EPA, for giving all Alaska's oil away. It really is a bummer when I can't fill my Hummer. The ozone's a no-go zone now that Arnold's here to say
the nuclear winter games are going to take place in L.A.
So fuck you all so very much. So what, the planet fails? Let's save the great white males. And fuck you all so very much.
Quack.
All right, well, that was, and before that was Eric Idle with FCC song. And, whoa.
Whoa.
All right, that was fun. So, and I'm in the studio with Amalfi, and say hi.
Hello.
Hello. And what's happening? What do you think is important in the world right now? Important. I mean, what's important?
what's important.
Yeah, what's important?
Wow. That's a pretty broad question.
What's important to you?
To me?
Yeah.
Art and music and...
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Cronick.
It was a bona fide grilling on Capitol Hill as Corporation for Public Broadcasting Chairman Kenneth Tomlinson faced a bipartisan third degree at a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearing on July 11th. Tomlinson first faced criticism from Illinois Democrat Senator Dick Durbin about his crusade against the program Now and its host, Bill Moyers. Tomlinson spent tens of thousands of dollars on questionable contracts to monitor Now and other programs for signs of liberal bias. Not that the research these so-called monitoring reports produced was worth the paper they were scribbled on.
He was paid thousands of dollars. His data, riddled with spelling errors, was faxed to you from a Hallmark store in downtown Indianapolis.
It's like Bob Dylan said, you know, you don't need a weather vane to see which way the wind's blowing. It was very clear that the Moyers program was liberal advocacy journalism. I wanted a statistical basis because I didn't think people were responding appropriately.
Moyers would like to debate Tomlinson publicly about conservative complaints with public broadcasting. After some prodding by Senator Arlen Specter, Republican of Pennsylvania, Tomlinson agrees to one in principle, but would rather not have to.
Now, this thing between Mr. Moyers and me could be a lot of fun. We would have a lot of fun debating on television for an hour about that. It would not be good for public television, and I think Mr. Moyers and I both agreed that in recent weeks we didn't think it was in the interest of public broadcasting for us to continue.
Do you think it would be a lot of fun?
It would be a lot of fun.
Well, do you think it ought to be broadcast on Saturday Night Live?
That's probably where it belongs.
Alaska Republican Ted Stevens thinks Tomlinson's bias crusade has hurt NPR and PBS, leading in part to recently proposed cuts of more than $100 million to the federal CPB budget, cuts public broadcasting cannot afford.
Members said that Congress ought to calm down. This system needs our support. I deplore the fact that there are some people within it that want to exercise their political bias in delivering it. Well, I think the board's problem is to get rid of that and restore the balance that existed in the past in the system.
The full Senate's expected to vote on the spending bill containing the public broadcasting provisions later this summer. In the interim, the Inspector General at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has opened an investigation into how CPB's new president, Patricia Harrison, was hired for the job. CPB Chair Tomlinson streamlined the hiring process so as to position Harrison as the top candidate. Harrison has a long history as a State Department propagandist and is a former chair of the Republican National Committee. This joins an ongoing probe into Tomlinson's misguided bias and balance crusade.
Eventually, this round of political fireworks over public broadcasting will end. Where will PBS and NPR be then? Better or worse for wear? There will still be funding shortfalls and partisan pressure, which over the last 10 years has especially taken its toll on public television, according to Jerry Starr, executive director of Citizens for Independent Public Broadcasting.
Public television in England and France and Germany and Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, Sweden and Spain attract audience shares of between 33% and 49%, with Denmark at 69%. PBS claims 3%.
Dr. Ernest Wilson agrees that something drastic must be done. But Wilson, who's been a member of the CPB Board of Directors since 2000, says the problem is one of demographics.
You know, we really have those eyeballs between 1 year old and 7 years old, and then we lose them for the next 40 years. And so we have, you know, the 47 on crew. We have got to find a way to get more audiences between the ages of 8 and 46. And that's certainly going to involve some reforms to the current system of deciding what goes on the air and making it more responsive to diverse perspectives.
One thing you won't hear out of Washington is the notion of fundamental reform to the public broadcasting system. While proposals exist to create an independent trust fund for public broadcasting purposes, Wilson says they have no momentum to speak of.
You cannot expect the Congress on its own. You cannot expect the boards of these organizations to be really in the forefront and think outside the box. It's got to come from the grassroots.
To that end, several groups, including Free Press, are planning a series of nationwide public meetings in hopes of engaging local public radio and TV stations in dialogue about bottom-up reform.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
Speaking of sluts, have you been following the Jeff Gannon story? I don't know if you know. It's only becoming a big story now. I've been following it all week. Jeff Gannon, that's not his real name. He is a White House correspondent who has been lobbing softball questions at the president and his press secretary. Turns out he is actually a paid escort for wealthy homosexuals. I'm not kidding about that. He actually had two jobs. One obviously was sleazy and shameful, and the other was a gay male prostitute. I think I know what Bush meant now when he said he had a mandate. Now, listen to this. This is where it gets a little scary. The president said today that the United States does not intend to attack Iran. But then he said, quote, "But you never want a president to say never." And he said if his position does change, he will make that information public in the time-honored, appropriate manner by leaking it to a gay prostitute. My God, the White House has ties to gay prostitution.
I do not understand, having covered the White House for as long as I did, how he got, I just don't get it, how he got a press pass on a false name, on an alias.
I don't know
how that happened. You have to be cleared through the Secret Service in order to get a press pass, which you have to wear at all time. I mean, there's something behind this story that hasn't come out,
and,
clearly.
Okay, well... I'm going to suggest what that is. Because not only did he have a press pass, but apparently he got scoops that other reporters didn't get. He got the one before anybody else had it on your boy Dan Rather when he got in trouble with the Swift boat reporting. He got the story on the attack of Baghdad when we started the war in March of 2003, 4 hours before anybody else got it. Now, I don't want to start rumors here, but isn't it sort of obvious that he had a boyfriend in the White House? Somebody at the highest level was spilling the beans while he was spilling the beans.
How did he get a Secret Service press pass? How did that happen? Okay, someone leaked stories, and of course we won't have an investigation of that, will we? But how did he get a Secret Service press pass? With an alias?
I mean, really,
I cannot figure it out.
Well, what do you think of my suggestion? I mean,
well, once he got into the White House, fine, someone was leaking him stories. But I'm asking how he gets through the FBI clearance and the Secret Service. How does that happen?
Well, I think there was a mole in the White House, or maybe a gerbil would be a mole. All right, I apologize for that. Leslie Scorley, thank you for joining us. Gannon thing, because Lord knows.
But don't go crazy.
I get no joy out of saying the White House has ties to gay prostitution. All right, I guess I get a little joy out of it.
Just like...
But let me ask, fellas, seriously, you...
Carl, are you awake? Carl, open the door!
Yeah.
Where is it?
I mean... Now, we have two Washington insiders from either party.
Insider's not a word you use right now.
I want to just ask this question. If this was the Clinton White House and this story broke, tell me a angry mob with torches would not be involved. Why do the Republicans get a pass on this stuff when you know this is impeachable with the other party?
The press.
Meaning...
I guess as the Democrat here, and you can totally dissociate. We're friends, but for the purposes of this show, you can pretend I hate him, but I really like him.
Okay.
Los amigos salen a los amigos ahí, todos.
The bottom line is that why isn't every major network in the country investigating a security breach? Forget anything else.
Right.
How could the FBI, for 17 years I was chairman of the Judiciary Committee, the ranking member, I read more FBI reports than ever wanted to know. How could that happen and no one have any idea who this guy was? Forget everything else. Assume he went in there and he was a saint. How could that be? We should know that. There should be. The Judiciary Committee of the United States Senate should be investigating it. The House Judiciary Committee should be investigating it. And if it were the other party in charge, it would be investigated.
Sounds like you've got your work cut out for you when you get back to Washington.
But by the way, one of the problems with there being not a single fora available is that you can't call a hearing. I'm in the judiciary. I can't go back and call a hearing. Only the chairman of the committee can call a hearing.
Right. So, all right. All right, moving on.
What's his nickname? Did he have a...
Bulldog.
Bulldog.
I'm not...
Wow, I've never heard that one in the gay community tonight.
What are you into? Well, and I'm
well,
not...
It wasn't gung-ho or something.
No, but I'm not... But he had websites under the names...
So if they did a background check, look under primalrear.com.
You can almost not get a joke on this.
Yes,
Hotmilitarystud.com.
Whoa!
One of them.
Need semen? Call 588-11...
Military Escorts, M4M.
M4M.
I don't know what that means. Do you? No.
Rear guard action. Okay, great.
ConservativeGuy.com.
Whoa.
I mean, this is... We're not making this
up. Uptight? Better late than never. Call now. Too late.
Woo! All right, that was pretty damn funny. Yeah, cool. What did you think?
Well, not knowing about the whole situation much before, I thought it was pretty... It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I am confused, I guess, a little bit about how he did get access, like, to everything. So, I mean, I don't know. That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Must really know some people that are, like, slipping through the cracks or something, because, I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot to this story, I think, that we don't know about, and I don't think we're ever going to know. It's being, like... hushed up. And like, I was listening to Air America today, and they were saying something like, there was some senator on there saying that we need an investigation, the Senate needs to investigate blah 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 about this thing. She was on for like a whole of like 2 minutes, and it ended with, oh, but we can't do it right now because everyone's going off to Rome for the big funeral.
Okay.
Yeah. the Senate's having a recess.
Not enough time.
We gotta go pay our respects to the dead guy. Alright, so I just thought I'd share that with you. That was kind of fun. Let's move on. I don't really have... You know, I had nothing going on today. You know, let's play this band, Sixbox. When you become a DJ here,
mm-hmm.
you need to talk to these guys at Sixbox, because they've been making all our PSAs for us for like...
Oh, awesome.
I know. They just knock it out. So they've been very cool. Let's go ahead and play this one for fun. This is called Skyscraper. That song sounded kind of homemade. It's kind of a demo song, sound like.
Oh.
Anyway, but they're cool people, so I thought I'd, you know, give them props a little bit. But, you know, anyway, so we both found out that we both like the same guy. His name's Cody Chestnut, and here's a song that, I don't know, I think it's funny as heck.
I would have to agree with you. As a woman, I'm not at all. I don't know. I take it... in a different context, I guess, just because it's humorous to me. Just
right. But it's out there. And so anyone who has sensitive feelings, let's talk about it. Give us a call at 619-269-4693. Oops. Damn it. Anyway. Hi, guys. That was a twofer of a book. But I think I would. I think I'll bum everyone out now, talking a little bit about depleted uranium. Hey, hey, hey. I found this story on AmericanFreePress.net, a story by James P. Tucker Jr., and the headline goes, DU death toll tops 11,000. Nationwide media blackout keeps U.S. public ignorant about this important story. The death toll from the highly toxic weapons component known as depleted uranium has reached 11,000 soldiers, and the growing scandal may be the reason behind Anthony Principi's departure as Secretary of the Veterans Affairs Department. This view was expressed by Arthur Birkenlau, Executive Director of Veterans for Constitutional Law in New York, writing in Preventative Psychiatry newsletter. The real reason for Mr. Principi's departure was really never given, Birkenlau said. Quote, however, a special report published by eminent scientist Lurin Moret naming depleted uranium as the definitive cause of Gulf War syndrome has fed a growing scandal about the continued use of uranium munitions in the U.S. military. The malady from DU that thousands of our military have suffered and died from has finally been identified as the cause of this sickness, eliminating the guessing. The terrible truth is now being revealed. Of the 580,400 soldiers who served in Gulf War I, 11,000 are now dead, he said. By the year 2000, there were 325,000 on permanent medical disability. More than a decade later, more than half, 56%, who served in Gulf War I have permanent medical problems. The disability rate for veterans of the world wars of the last century was 5%, rising to 10% in Vietnam. The VA secretary was aware of this fact as far back as 2000, Birkenlau said. He and the Bush administration have been hiding these facts, but now, thanks to Moret's report, it is far too big to hide or cover up. Terry Johnson, public affairs specialist at the VA, recently reported that veterans of both Persian Gulf Wars, now on disability, total 518,739. The long-term effects of DU is a virtual death sentence, Birkenlau says. Marion Falk, a nuclear chemist who retired from Lawrence Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab and was also involved in the Manhattan Project, interprets the new and rapid malignancies in the soldiers from the Second War as spectacular and a matter of concern. While this important story appeared in a Washington newspaper and the wire services, it did not receive national exposure, a compelling sign that the American public is being kept in the dark about the terrible effects of this toxic weapon. Yeah. And that's not even talking about the Iraqis, who all those shells that are left there. I mean, yeah, there's munitions, and they go and blow up a tank or whatever, or a house or whatever it is that they blow up. But then those things just sit there, possibly seep into the
water,
the groundwater, yeah. Or else they're just radioactive elements floating around there, and you get, I mean, huge amounts. I mean, in the last 10 years, the amount of birth defects in Iraq has just skyrocketed. I mean, it's just like crazy birth defects in Iraq. And also massive amounts of cancer also going on in Iraq since the last 10 years. So
it's so disturbing.
It's gross. So anyway, here's a song. I'm just learning this guy, MC Lynx, and I dig him, though. Every time I hear him, I like him. So I'm going to play another song that I'm not sure I've heard before. Because, you know, that's what I do on this show. Part of what I do on this show is I play shit that I haven't heard before. And then we both learn something. We both may. I don't know. If I haven't heard it, you might not have heard it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, that's the fun part. And there was something else I was going to say. Oh, yeah. You know, people always want to, like, ask me, like, what my show's about and stuff. And it's like, you know, just listen to it.
Does it have to be about something?
Yeah, just listen to it, and you'll kind of get it. I mean, and, like, or they want to be able to describe it. And I'm like, I'm really hesitant to describe it because it
then you're putting it in a category.
Right, and it also, for me, it objectifies it. I'm just being subjective here, completely subjective on the air. And I'm trying to be vulnerable about things that, you know, disturb or upset me or turn me on or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but also, you know, share fun stuff and not so fun stuff. But it's anyway, it's kind of, it's curious to me, this whole thing that is a radio show.
What is your purpose?
What is it? Why are you doing this? And my mother-in-law was like, wait, my mother-in-law was like, well, as long as you're having, she's like, well, what? And my wife goes to her, well, he's having fun. Oh, well, as long as you're having fun.
Oh, great.
That's my whole thing. As long as you're having fun, I don't care what you're doing.
Committee staff report clearly establishes that the state of Ohio has not met its obligation to conduct a fair election. Ohio's partisan Secretary of State, Mr. Kenneth Blackwell, I'm ashamed to say an African-American man, has failed even to follow Ohio's election procedures, let alone procedures that comply with federal law and constitutional requirements. Our ancestors who died for the right to vote certainly must be turning over in their graves. Mr. Speaker, I traveled to Ohio where John Conyers convened hearings, and I listened to citizen after citizen describe the Ohio election debacle. When there is a shortage of voting machines that leads to lines of up to 10 hours to cast a vote in precincts that are predominantly minority and Democratic voters, forcing countless prospective voters to leave without voting, and where a number of Democratic precincts had fewer machines than were used in the primary election, despite the certainty of a much higher turnout in the hotly contested general election for president, it is clear that Ohio has failed to run a fair election. When Mr. Blackwell arbitrarily and unreasonably refused to provide provisional ballots to voters who were in the right county but the wrong precinct, or to voters who requested but did not receive an absentee ballot in a timely manner, it is clear that Ohio has failed to run a fair election. When a county in Ohio shows more votes cast than registered voters, or when another Ohio county shows an underfunded Democratic state Supreme Court candidate getting substantially more votes than the well-funded campaign of Senator Kerry, it is clear that Ohio has failed to run a fair election. When Secretary of State Blackwell refused to recognize thousands of new voter applications because they were not on post-court wait paper, it is clear that Ohio has failed to run a fair election. And where Secretary Blackwell, in violation of his statutory duty to investigate election irregularities, refused to investigate or remedy any of the hundreds of cases of voter intimidations that reported to him, it is more than clear that Ohio has failed to run a fair election. It is stunning to me that in many jurisdictions, we use more sophisticated technology to run the daily lottery than to devote to our election system. Even in those few jurisdictions that have moved to electronic voting to avoid the problems of chads and punch cards, we do not require a verifiable paper trail to protect against vote tampering. If an ATM machine can give each user a receipt that user can rely upon, why can't a voting machine? Mr. Speaker, the issue before us is not whether the problems in the Ohio election were outcome determinative, although they could have been. It is whether the state has met its obligation to provide every voter with an equal opportunity to vote and have his vote counted. We must not allow these egregious violations to be trivialized. There is no constitutionality acceptable level of inequality in access to voting in federal elections. Mr. Speaker, there is no conceivable justification for disqualifying a vote for president or for senator on the ground that a legally qualified voter shows up to cast his vote in the right state but the wrong precinct. Why could we not count that voter's ballot? The voter's intent is clear. There is no question as to the voter's right to vote for the president of the United States or a senator. We can ensure that the voter does not cast a provisional ballot in more than one location. It is clear that Ohio has failed to run a fair election.
FSCK, the corporate media. FSCK, the corporate media, is a presentation of ATI Zine along with Prime Anarchist Productions. This podcast will be broadcast on a webcast with a once-a-week deadline, and our goal will always be to keep it under 39 minutes. So you can put two shows on a disc and hand it to someone who doesn't have internet. If we go long, please edit us from the bottom up, the way journalism was supposed to be. Don't hate the media. FSCK, the corporate media. Send us audio feedback. No, don't Skype me. Call 860-887-2600, extension 5293, and leave it there. We'll go right to Wave and get it up there ASAP, okay? I'd like to suddenly give a random shout-out to the peeps at audio.com. And dedications, Milwaukee, Portland, and Atlanta Indie Media, and the peeps at Broad Vocabulary Bookstore. Oh, and the late, great Abby Hoffman.
Can I take your order, please?
No, thank you. Revolution will not go better with Coke. Revolution will rise. Come ye masters of war. Hasbro, Kenner, Macau, Colt, Smith & Wesson, Leo Burnett. Can you say taxes? Shake it to the left. And shake it to the right. Transformers, Transformers, Barbie G.I. Joe and an M16. Transformers, Barbie G.I. Joe and an M16.